الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كلا بل لا تكرمون اليتيم ولا تحاضون على طعام المسكين وتأكلون التراث أكلا لما وتحبون المال حبا جما صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of sitting in the masjid and listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Alhamdulillah, in the past few weeks we have been reciting these verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the group of people who believe that those people who have been blessed with wealth, they are the ones that are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people who have not been blessed with wealth and they have been afflicted with poverty, they are the ones who are doomed and are far away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the last session we mentioned that one of the tawjihat, one of the reasons, one of the explanations of the mufassireen was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that kalla balla tukrimun al-yateem, that rather you did not honor the orphan. That we last week we mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that because you did not honor the orphan, that's why Allah inflicted poverty upon you. However, there's one more tafsir that some of us Syrians say that it's the other way around. That it was because of your belief. It was because of your belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts those with poverty, those who are far away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So based on this belief, you then, thinking that the orphan was far away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you did not honor the orphan, you disrespected and you abused the rights of the needy and the orphan. Moving on, there's one hadith that I want to mention. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the hadith of Ibn Majah. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimullah has also included this in his book Az-Zuhd li Ibn Mubarak. It's a hadith on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ بَيْتٍ فِي الْمُسْلِمِينَ بَيْتٌ فِيهِ يَتِيمٌ يُحْسَنُ إِلَيْهِ. That amongst the Muslims, the best house is that house in which there is an orphan who is, you know, treated well. And the worst house, وَشَرُّ بَيْتٍ فِي الْمُسْلِمِينَ بَيْتٌ فِيهِ يَتِيمٌ يُسَاءُ إِلَيْهِ. That the worst house amongst the Muslims is that house in which there's an orphan who is abused. ثُمَّ قَالَ بِأُسْبُعِهِ. Then Rasulullah ﷺ gestured with his fingers and he said, أَنَا وَكَافِلُ الْيَتِيمِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ هَكَذَا. And he said, he gestured with his fingers and he said that I and the person who takes care of the orphan will be in Jannah like this. So, and he Rasulullah ﷺ indicates with his wusta and with his sababa. For those who cannot see, that there are five fingers. From the small finger, we have the khinsar, binsar. The middle finger is known as the wusta. And then the shahada finger is known as sababa, and it's also known as shahada as well. Really funny, actually, because the sababa means to swear, and shahada means to do, when you do shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. So the fingers used for both back in the days. This first, the shahada finger was also used to swear. Like in our time, we have the middle finger that we swear at people. May Allah protect us from doing this. But this shahada finger was also used for that. So it was called sababa and shahada as well. And then the thumb is called ibham. So Rasulullah indicates with his middle finger and the shahada finger and saying that I and the person who takes care of your team will be Jannah like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst them. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Moving on. Allah subhanahu, we mentioned the next verse as well. وَلَا تَحَاضُّونَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. And do not encourage one another to feed the needy. Again, we mentioned some of this last week as well. Just to quickly repeat, that one thing is a person who does not have the ability to feed the needy. Then the minimum, at least the thing he should do is consider it something good. That, oh mashallah, this person, you know, look at him, he's treating the orphan, he's treating the needy. And if a person has the ability, he has two responsibilities. One responsibility is he should take care of the needy person himself. And the other responsibility is he should, advise others to also take care of the needy person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst them. And this next verse is what I really wanted to concentrate on today. وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُّرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمَّا. And you devour the inheritance. وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُّرَاثَ. تُرَاث, the word comes from مِرَاثِيَ. Yeah, that, and you devour the inheritance, أَكْلًا لَمَّا, with a sweeping gulp. The word لَمَّا, أَكْلًا, means to devour, to eat. And لَمَّا, لَمَّا يَلُمُّ, it means شَدِيدًا أَوْ جَمْعًا بَيْنَ الْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ. Meaning that the way you devour inheritance, you do not consider what is halal for me and what is haram for me. What does this mean? The portion of inheritance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken out for a person, that's halal for him. But the portion of inheritance that Allah has prescribed for somebody else, another inheritor, that is haram for you. It's as simple as that. So, you know, there's a few things to mention here. The first thing that needs to be understood is that in the Quran, there are very few rulings which are mentioned in their entirety and explicitly. Many of the rulings that, for example, Allah says, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَىٰ, and uphold salah, maintain salah, but the rulings, the intricate rulings of salah, they are mentioned in the ahadith. And we find this with zakah. It doesn't say, 2.5% in the Quran, but it's such an important part of zakah, yet it's mentioned in the hadith. However, when it comes to inheritance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions every single mas'ala. Every single person's portion is mentioned in the Holy Quran. And we all know this is normally the hafiz's nightmare. Yusikum Allahu fi awladikum. So the entire one and a half to two pages, is full of the mas'alas of inheritance. And remember, when we were studying in Darul Uloom, Hazrat Mufti Ikram al-Haq Sahib, Damn al-Barakatuhum, drew our attention to one point. He said, look at the end of the verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the limits of Allah. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Whoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul, يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْضُ الْعَظِيمُ. That he will be entered into Jannah and this is a victory. And then this is the most scary part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهِ, and whoever disobeys Allah, وَرَسُولَهُ, وَيَتَعَدَّ هُدُودَهُ, and he disobeys the Rasul, and he transgresses the limits of Allah, يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا, he will be entered into Jahannam forever, وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, and he will be punished. This warning comes directly after the rulings of inheritance. And it's a very clear, very, very severe warning that if anyone goes against these limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll be punished. So it's very, very important for us. We have this culture that the ulama write as well, that there was a time in the times of Jahiliyyah, ignorance, that the people before the time, the pre-Islamic period, they would not give the inheritance to women, they would not give the inheritance to children. This is something of the time of ignorance. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he changed this. He gave women their right, he gave children their right. Why is it that today we have cultures where women are still being abused in this respect? Yeah, the sisters or daughters, they get very less. Or, you know, the parents, before they pass away, they just give them a little envelope and they say, you don't need to worry now. And then the sons get everything. Wallahi, this is very clear. It's very, very clear. Look at the Quran, look at the translation of the Quran, and look at the warning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if even then, وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُّرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمَّا, you want to become the manifestation of this surah, of this verse, then what can we say? Allah, there's no doubt about these many masail, there's differences of opinion. But in the mas'ala of mirath, you can ask any alim. There's no differences of opinion. Yeah? When the time comes, a person passes away, everybody, the shares are very clear, very explicitly mentioned. It is upon us to ensure that every single inheritor, whether you like them or not, whether your culture dictates or not, forget your culture. The culture of Allah is most important. And this is very, very true. It's very, very important. You know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding. This is extremely important. That's one mas'ala. The second mas'ala with regards to inheritance, and this is also a very, very relevant point, is that when a person passes away, it is of extreme importance that we deal with the inheritance as soon as possible. It's very, very important. Many times what happens is, parents pass away, and somebody from the inheritors is living in the house, so nobody wants to, you know, trigger anything. Nobody wants to broach the topic. Oh, I don't want to, you know, fall out with my brother. I don't want to... But what about Allah? You're going to fall out with Allah. It doesn't matter if you're going to fall out with your brother. The hukam of Allah comes first. If your brother does not want to listen to the commandments of Allah, then he is no brother to you. This is a very simple point. The la ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'siyatil khaliq. It's very clear that when it comes to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in Islam, we find that we have to obey our mother all the time. That's number one. After the Prophet ﷺ, after Allah ﷺ and Rasulullah ﷺ, mother, mother, mother. But when it comes to the commandments of Allah, if the mother is commanding you to do something against Allah, then we will disobey the mother. We'll say, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes first. So why is it that when it comes to the matters of inheritance, we then compromise the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we transgress the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's very simple. It doesn't matter who's living in the house. The matter needs to be resolved. Now, if you're feeling so much for your brother, then stand up, broach the topic, and gift him your portion of the house. But let the matter be dealt with. I remember when we were studying with Mufti Ikram al-Haq Sahab, there was one issue that came, 40 years old. This issue of inheritance came, and it was from 1982. And now the issue, and I'm telling you something, one thing is from a perspective of the commandments, carrying out the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now I'm going to explain to you the damage of not carrying out the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what's happened is 40 years later, whoever's property it was, they passed away, and this person had two wives, one in another country, one here. Now their families, the family of the first wife, the family of the second wife, they had an entire, there was a literal war going on between the two families. Because the inheritance had not been dealt with. Remember something. When the inheritance is not dealt with, people pass away, then the owners become their inheritors. So initially, you might have had to deal with the matter with four people or five people or six people. The moment someone passes away, you're suddenly making the issue between 20 people, 30 people. Number one, practically speaking, it becomes very, very hard to then complete that commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is of extreme importance. If the matter is sticky, then if you feel like giving up your portion for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of making something simple, do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for you. But the matter, the fact remains that the issue of inheritance needs to be dealt with as soon as possible. As soon as possible, wallahi, this is an issue that is very, very relevant today. That you find it awkward to bring up the topics, or he's living there, It doesn't matter. The fact is that the house, for example, the house with your parents, you need to deal with it. Like we said, we've already explained the importance of the mas'ala and the rulings of mirath, and it is of extreme importance to immediately, after the grieving period, after things have settled down, but very quickly broach the topic amongst the family, bring in the local imam, the local mufti, a reliable mufti who is able to deal with all of these things, and inshallah sit down with the mufti, and of course, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also make things easy, because we are trying to fulfill the commandment of Allah. When we are trying to fulfill the commandment of Allah, of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things easy for us. So this is what we need to do as soon as possible. Whenever somebody passes away, deal with it. Deal with it and then move on with your life. Otherwise these things hang, and then we pass away, and then our children have to deal with it, and their children have to deal with it, and this can go on for many, many years. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. And lastly, before we finish today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. And you loved wealth excessively. حُبًّا جَمَّا جَمَّا أي كَثِيرًا. Yeah, that you loved wealth excessively. And we mentioned already in وَيْلُ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ أَلَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالٍ. Yeah, that gathering wealth is not an issue. Yeah, we had many, many sahabas and pious people of the past who were very affluent and they had a lot of wealth. However, there are certain points where it becomes an issue. And the point it becomes an issue are, number one, when the gathering of wealth distracts us from fulfilling our obligations. For example, the time of salah has come, we're busy, in our shop, for example, and there's a lot of customers coming, and you're like, you know what, I'll pray my namaz later. So first of all, you miss your namaz with jama'ah, which is wajib, and then sometimes it comes to a point as well that the namaz becomes qaza because you've got customers. Now that's when gathering wealth becomes an issue, because you are not fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're not fulfilling your obligations. So you are committing a major sin here by missing your fard for the sake of wealth. Number two, it becomes an issue when we don't consider what is halal and what is haram. Just whatever, as long as my pocket's getting full, as long as my account's getting bigger, it does not matter. Interest, no interest, interest, insurance, whatever. I don't care where the money comes from. I want it in my pocket. This is, again, when it becomes an issue. So, wealth, this normally happens when it's an excessive love for wealth. Naturally, we have an inclination within us, an intrinsic inclination within us, is sort of a, what you call a disposition, that we feel attracted to wealth. This is how humans are, and we all love money, because money brings us ease, it brings us comforts. However, we have to ensure that we draw a line when it comes to the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. And one last point, the mufassirin in the night, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has listed hubbe mal, the love of wealth, last in this list of evil deeds. Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this love of wealth last? Because the reason why is because the love of wealth is what leads to all other sins. Yeah, like in one saying, is not coming to mind whether it's a hadith, it's a weak hadith, or it's a saying, wallahu alam. But they say that Mufti Shafi Sahib Ramtala has mentioned in this tafsir as well, حُبُّ الْمَالِ رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ, that the love of wealth is the head and the leads you to all other sins. And when you look back at it, yeah, that when you have wealth, you feel haughty, you feel proud. So then you don't think of the orphan, you don't think of the needy, you don't look at, and when it comes to inheritance, it's only because you love wealth so much that you start taking everyone's shares as well. If you didn't, then you'd give them their share like this. So the love of wealth leads us to many, many sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being the manifestation of these verses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the love for the akhirah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true love for the Quran. From here, in the final verses, there's two parts. The first part is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the ahwal and the conditions of the day of Qiyamah. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the nafsul mutma'inna. And inshallah, underneath that, we'll speak about the three types of nafs as well. Inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all the sins that have been mentioned hitherto in this surah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true love for the Holy Quran and the true understanding of the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who recite the Quran day and night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, and the tawfiq to do all good and act upon the sunnah. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.